Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There have been many different monsters throughout our history on Earth. Many of them are known to us. I myself am an avid reader of all things fantasy related. I've read books about towering monstrosities, giants that heads go into the clouds. I have read of dangerous beasts, almost as if they were part lion, goat, and a tail of a snake. Such destructive creatures are known throughout all of history. You go back to the earliest myths, to the Greek mythologies, to the Norse mythologies, and to any ancient religion or pagan religion. There are monsters upon monsters out there in the world. One of the most famous, however, one that when I think of the quintessential monster, comes from one of my favorite childhood books. I'll see if you can guess who this monster is. There he lay, a vast red golden dragon, fast asleep. A thrumming came from his jaws and nostrils and wisps of smoke, but his fires were low in slumber. Beneath him, under all his limbs and his huge coiled tail, and about him on all sides, stretching away across the unseen floors, lay countless piles of precious things, gold wrought and unwrought, gems and jewels, and silver red stained in the ruddy light. He lay with wings folded like an immeasurable bat, turned partly on one side, so that the hobbit could see his underparts and his long pale belly, crusted with gems and fragments of gold from his long line on his costly bed. This is J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit's description of the great red dragon, Smaug. J.R.R. Tolkien describes this beast as colossal, larger than any other creature that the young Bilbo Baggins had ever seen, frightening and monstrous. He didn't get this idea from his own imagination, though. Dragons have been a part of many cultures' mythology for centuries. And yet, J.R.R. Tolkien took quite a bit of, well, inspiration from one from our own history. We've been talking this entire Lenten series about Job, about how he has suffered greatly because of Satan, how God has allowed Satan to destroy Job utterly, except his life. Last week, we heard God speak after much silence. This week, we see God speaking of one who has always been there, one who might sound familiar to all of you. Behold, the hope of man is false. He is laid low even at the sight of him. No one is so fierce that he dares to stir him up. I will not keep silence concerning his limbs. Around his teeth is terror. His back is made of row of shields, shut up closely as with a seal. His sneezing flashes forth light, and his eyes are the eyelids of dawn. Out of his mouth goes flaming torches. Sparks of fire leap forth. Out of his nostrils come forth smoke, as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. On earth there is not his like, a creature without fear. He sees everything that is high. He is king over all the sons of pride. A great beast with terror in his maw. God is describing the great and terrible beast known as Leviathan. This creature has an enormous time spent in the later parts of Job describing how great and terrible that he was. You can actually make parallels to see how Tolkien took inspiration from this creature for his own dragon Smaug. However, this creature, unlike Smaug, is real. This creature has been with Job the entirety of his time. Leviathan, Satan himself. Where God was silent and then spoke of the latter parts, Satan never quite left the picture. He was always there. First, he was attacking Job. There was none on earth like his equal. Great winds came and destroyed Job's family. Great people destroyed his entire livelihood. Plague and pestilence were put upon him. And then his friends came, and Satan, that toothy serpent, was always there. Through his friends whispering conceits, through his friends whispering false judgments, false teachings, and even speaking to Job in pride, having the audacity for the clay to talk back to the potter. Satan has never left this story. He has always been there. And when God finally comes and talks, he acknowledges the power of Satan. He is strong. None on earth are like him. He is like a great dragon. No one is able to conquer him. Job wasn't. He fell. He was a man beset on all sides, and though he did repent, praise be to God, the devil was still there, controlled by God himself. For remember, God placed limits on what the devil could do, but still he raged across the world, a great towering beast. Destruction followed his wake. We only need to see at God's own people, the Israelites, how God had called them to be his own, but the serpent was always there, whispering in their ears that they could be so much more. They didn't need God. They could disobey his commandments. They were better off in Egypt. We don't need God. We can go into our own promised land, make peace treaties with our enemies, even though they try to murder, capture, and destroy us. We don't need God. Or maybe we could be our own God. Maybe we could be strong and mighty, having our own king to tell us, just like everyone else. Masters of our own fate. On earth, there was no one his equal. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Satan, the devil, was always in the details. We now come to this Holy Week, to Christ's Passion. And even here we see the devil trying his best. Throughout his entire ministry, Satan was up to his old tricks. That dragon was trying to consume the very Son of God himself. He did it in many ways, even before this week. He did it right when Jesus was born. Herod wanted to kill him. Failed. And so the devil, being a murderer and a father of all lies, did the next thing. He waited for an opportune time to strike where he would come and burn down the very Son of God. And so, after 40 days of fasting in the desert, he came to Jesus and tempted him with all of the things of this world. He resisted. This was different. This was new. No one had resisted the devil before. Remember, there was no one on earth like him. No one could even come up to him to don the armor and fight him as an equal to slay this mighty dragon. And yet, one man did just that. And the devil could not let this stand. And so throughout the entire ministry of Jesus Christ upon the earth, we see the devil up to his old tricks. He sent his legions, his armies, his demons into people so that they would arouse the people to be against Jesus, who would, in a way, reveal the mystery before Christ himself could. And so they would say, "You are the Christ. What would you have to do with us?" And yet Jesus said, "Be quiet. Get out." and the demons left. On earth, there was none like his equal, and yet here is a man who can destroy and control the Satan's armies. No, this could not stand for the devil. And so he went in sickness and plague, as he did with Job. And yet Christ healed. Again, he brought death. And yet Christ raised people to life. On earth, there was none his equal. But now, there was. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, come down from heaven and fleshed as a man for the propitiation of our sins. The devil thought he had won, though. He was trying to kill Jesus. And so he brought out the Pharisees, the chief priests and the scribes, the religious leaders to turn against him, to try to kill him. He would turn his own disciples against him. Judas, one of the 12, would betray him with 30 pieces of silver. He would get the very people to destroy the entire Christ. And they would crucify him, even after wishing him welcome into their city. On earth, there is none as equal. And yet, this week we remember Christ's death. It is a dark time. We see all manner of evil around our world today. Even if the coronavirus was not ravaging our world, it seems that we would have other things. There would still be death. There would still be hurt. People would suffer. Wars would rage. On earth, there was none his equal. And yet, there is Christ. Amidst all this darkness, today we celebrate on this Maundy Thursday Christ defeating Satan once again. And he does it in the most extraordinary way, knowing that all things were coming to pass, knowing that he was going to die, and so fulfill the scriptures, fulfill that plan that God had made for the salvation of the world. Christ would give his body and his blood for the forgiveness of sins. He would go with his disciples in an upper room, and he would pour out his body and his blood. The hour had come for all things to be fulfilled, and as Christ proclaimed that he was the living water and the bread of life, he fulfilled it during this time of great darkness. Listen to what our Lord did to combat, defeat Satan. And he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins." Jesus gave his life, his own body and blood, so that the snares of the devil do not overcome his disciples. Where the devil even tried to sow discord and betrayal with Judas, Jesus did not stop his life-giving work. Even to the moment of his death, Christ was giving forgiveness of sins, new life, and the promise that whoever eats of this bread and drinks of this cup will never die, but have eternal life. This is the hope of Maundy Thursday. This is the promise. Remember, the devil is bound. Remember that Leviathan is a creature of God. God explained the power of Leviathan to Job so that Job would understand that as powerful as this beast appears to be, God is greater. Though the dragon rage and froth, his flames are nothing compared to the power of God, to his body and blood. Where the devil has his limits, God has none. Where he can destroy, God heals. This is our victory. The devil, though he schemes and rages, cannot overcome Christ. Leviathan is silenced. But while we could not contend with it, Christ crushed his head upon the foot of the cross. Where he could not be bound, Christ took all of his power away. The dragon is conquered. Life is won. Though it seems even today the devil still has his talons and teeth bared against us, they are dulled and broken. For Christ has won victory over him through his body and his blood, his death and his resurrection. Amen.